Hi guys, this is Kirk from The Chat Inn. Just before we start this week's episode, just want to give a little warning. We are talking about men's mental health, and although not graphic, we do discuss suicide. Thank you.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chat Inn, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm
the other Mark.
3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
See if they do a glass of milk.
Cheers. Offer to Mova.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Rob. How are we doing?
All right. Are you all right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Did you finish your garage yet?
It's done. It's finished.
Done.
Completely finished. All done.
Have you retired now, then?
Me done. I mean, I say it's done. I mean, I didn't do it. It was my nephew that did it, but it's done.
Well, so that's one thing off your chest, isn't it?
Well, that's the only thing he had on his list this year. To get his garage. So
Hang on. I do need 2 more shelves, though, so... So it's not really
so it's not finished.
Well, it's done, but it's done in his eyes. But then I've gone, I need some more shelves. You know what I'm like.
Have you labelled it all?
Yes, apart from these 2 new
keeping
shelves.
Keeping these little truths up your sleeve, we'll start calling you Rishi Sunak.
So it's 99.9% done.
Brilliant. Well done.
So
well, well done.
Well done. Thank you. I'll take all the credit. So
well
done. Thank you.
Yeah, you have anyway.
Kirk, you've been up to all? Bitting and bobbing. I actually went for a... Mark pulled me out on...
Me?
No, trust me, the other one. Pulled me out on a walk over the weekend. Where did we go? Backtour, Mamtour?
Yeah.
What?
What? Yeah, so we did Backtour, Lucille and Mamtour.
This country or did you go to France or
something? That's in the Peak District.
Sorry, Backtour.
Yes.
Backtour and Mamtour.
Yes.
Well, I've never heard of Backtour.
Yes, well... You were invited, you never replied.
I did reply.
No.
Working.
Did I reply?
No.
Rob did reply. He put, I'd love to, but I'm on nights.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I must have been busy that day.
I mean, we weren't walking through the night, so I'm not quite sure what his excuse were, but...
Next time I'll take you.
But going back to it, I've heard of Mamtour, but Backtour, I've never heard of that.
I won't ruin the surprise.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So I said to Mark, I said, you know what? I'd love to get back out walking again. Absolutely. But please remember, it's been a while since I've done it. I'm struggling with my knee a little bit. Mark's like, don't worry. We're all, you know, we haven't done it for a while. We'll take it steady. It'll be a steady walk up. All right. Well, as long as I'm not going to slow you down. No, don't be silly. It's absolutely fine. So off we went. And then we pulled up into this farmer's field. And this farmer says, oh, I tell you what, you need to go down this path and up this path. And so Mark says, oh, we'll try that. We've never done it before. However, I did not need a Gurkha guide. I have no idea.
An air ambulance.
And then, honestly...
Was it that bad?
Oh, the gradient. So I was ready for a walk, don't get wrong, and I knew it wouldn't be easy. It's not. But the gradient that we went up the side... Well, put it this way. We went from bottom to top within 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Oh, okay.
And so that's taking it easy, apparently.
We've done the walk, a very similar walk. It's the same route, apart from the initial ascent. We've done that before, but it's a longer, slower ascent. This was... Very steep and
like
straight up.
Yeah, it were a lot shorter, so as you can appreciate, it was steeper.
Did you need rock climbing equipment for it?
No,
was it
that
bad?
No,
but it wasn't easy, put it that way. They found it easy. I certainly didn't find it easy.
I like the fact that the next day I put a text message on the group asking how the picnic was.
It certainly weren't a picnic. By the time I got to the top, I'd already said to I'm like 2/3 of the way up, and Mark's obviously already at the top, and there were another peak to actually get to the top of Backtour, and I'm looking at that, I'm like, I'm going to struggle just to get up this side of it. So I shouted up to Mark, I said, look, you carry on, because I know that they walk over there and then walk back and retrace the steps. I'm like, you carry on, I'll sit there and wait
carry
for you.
Carry on, leave me behind.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep going. Save yourselves, don't worry about me, I'll die here.
So Mark says, alright, he went off, I got to the top, sat down, tried to catch my breath. And I kept looking at the top of this peak, like where it went. I'm like, it won't take you long to get up there. Get yourself up, get yourself to the top. So I stood up and I got myself to the top. And I were happy that I did. Do you know what I mean? I were happy that I got to the top. But then obviously...
you got to come back down.
Well, yeah. Well, they'd already walked on then to Loose Hill, which is another one further on. So I started walking that way, but then I caught them walking back. So I turned around, walked back down. Well, it's like kind of down Backtour and then on to Mamtour, is it?
Yeah, then they crossed the Great Ridge.
Yeah, so anyway, I burnt 1,700 calories.
Wow.
So
how many steps did you do?
14,500 steps.
Good effort, that, mate.
So, yeah, I was quite chuffed, but Yeah, it was a grueler. But fundamentally, I did enjoy it. I did enjoy getting back out into the sunshine,
well done, mate.
Out into the outdoors.
Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely.
So what about you, Rob? What about you?
Do you know what? I've had a very plain week. I've been working.
Oh, okay.
Done a bit of overtime and I've been working. So honestly, nothing from me this week, I'm afraid, boys. What about you, Mark?
Well, mine's been a bit of an up and down week. Well, other than the walking, obviously.
It's
been quite a somber week for us because we lost our last remaining pet dog, Toby, this week.
Oh. Yeah, sorry to say that, mate.
Yeah, we had to take him to the vet's last time, which were quite sad and it really, really hard, you know, coming back home and the house being empty and stuff. So that's been quite a difficult week. And that sort of leads me on to a special guest that we've got. So I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago we touched on a men's mental health charity called Andy's Man Club.
Yeah, we did.
Well, tonight we've got a special guest from the Rotherham branch of Andy's Man Club, Richard Gaynor. Evening, Richard.
Good evening. How are you doing? All right.
Good. Thank you, mate.
Let's kick things off then in the traditional form. How's your week been?
It's been nice and chilled. I've had no work this week, so yeah, just done a few jobs around the house and potter about.
What is it you do, Richard?
I work in a plumber's merchant, but I actually work from home instead of being in branch. So best of both worlds is good.
So what's the backstory with Andy's Man Club then, Richard? How did it all begin?
Well, just over 8 years ago, a young lad called Andy Roberts took his own life in Halifax, only 23-year-old. And it come out of blue, really. No one really expecting it. Never showed any signs of depression or, you know, I'm going to take his own life. I don't suppose we ever do we? And basically, his brother-in-law and his mum got together to create what then called Andy Roberts Coffee Club, just to try and get guys to come together and talk. Because I realised that as guys, we don't talk very much. 9 people rocked up to that first group. It's changed its name since then because obviously Andy's Man Club sounds a bit better. And this week we've had 200 groups open up and down country and 4,500 blokes coming through to us.
Wow.
That's 200. Incredible.
Mm. So such a sad situation like that, and they've created a fantastic legacy.
Yep. Yeah, and they've probably saved a few lives going along as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's probably saved more than a few, especially, you know, up and down the UK. And this is the thing, isn't it, at the moment, that mental health is so prevalent at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some people like media and stuff like that say that we're in a mental health crisis, you know. And I think that especially when we talk about men and you know, we're talking about Andy's Man Club, we're talking about men speaking, you know, men's mental health has got such a stigma attached to it, and people opening up, and you know, it really does affect across the world, but across the UK, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I was obviously being the researcher of the group and knowing Richard was coming on, I had looked into this. Honestly, there was a mental health statistics for 2024, and this was only done in February of this year. In the UK, the term "how to reduce stress" is searched on Google once every 10 minutes on average.
Wow.
I mean, that's a lot, isn't it? And I know stress isn't necessarily like the biggest of all the mental health issues, but it then continues to say more women say they struggle with poor mental health than men, with 18.5% of women stating that their mental health is currently either bad or the worst it's ever been, compared to 12.5% of men. Men are nearly twice as likely to describe their mental health as being excellent, 13.5% of men versus 7.5% of women. But while men are likelier to rate their mental health positively than women are, men continue to account for 3/4 of suicides in the UK. It continues to be difficult in many cases for both men and women to talk about their mental health concerns, but finding it more difficult to talk about their mental health well-being is something that affects men more than women. This is often attributed to the fact that traditional gender roles of men expect them to be strong and stoic.
And is that what you find, Richard, in group and stuff, that you know, that there's this thing about men struggling to open up and struggling to talk about.
I mean, that
feelings.
Sense of bravado.
Yeah, yeah. That sense of, yeah.
Is that where, because this is the thing with men nowadays, isn't it? It's all about this, you know, stiff upper lip and, you know, grow a pair.
Yeah,
you know,
man up, as they say.
Yeah, and all that sort of thing. And, and because of that, us, sometimes men can feel like they can't show their emotions or they can't cry and things like that. So, you know, is that...
It always has been, hasn't it? I mean, look where we're based. So we've been surrounded by steelworks, mines, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, a big industry where it's, you know, it's mainly blokes who don't show emotions. Yeah. And there's a stigma there, isn't there? And people don't want to, don't talk to the mates. Women will quite happily talk to each other and tell them how they're feeling. Sometimes... the shit's got to be a fan for blokes to actually do that, and sometimes it's too late. Mm. How many guys have took their own lives and no one expected it coming? It happens a lot, doesn't it? But we see guys coming on a Monday night and they say, I don't want to talk, I'm not talking, and that's fine. We don't put no pressure on guys to talk, so it's all about listening as well. That's another form of communication. So
Do they just take turns to talk? Is there like a format in which?
Yeah, well, every group's on exactly the same, and we have a, what we call a talking ball. So I run the Brinsworth group, and I start the talk off usually, or if it's not me, another facilitator does it. And when the ball comes round to you, you've got a decision to make. You can have a talk, or you can pass that ball on. Either way, there's going to be no judgment on you, because you know that first, especially that first night you come, getting through that door is pressure for you, and it's hard work for you, and you don't particularly want to speak in front of a lot of strangers, but ironically, talking to strangers is easier than talking to your partner or your mum and dad or whoever, because you're scared of being judged. In that room where we are. Sounds a bit harsh, this, but once we've done a meeting, that's it, we've done. We'll meet again next Monday. We don't go out tickle-tackling and say, no, such and such has done this, because we don't even need to know your real name. We don't know you, so there is no stigma in that room, because that's, we're all there for that same reason.
That's the problem sometimes, isn't it, as well? If you were to tell someone, like sometimes your closest friends or a family member, they can't unhear it. Once they know, they know. And you know they know, and so sometimes if you're speaking to an absolute stranger, you've no worry that A, they're going to find out, and you've no worry that you've got to always remember, oh, they know that thing about me, when you've moved forward from it, or you know it later on. We get
some guys who, you know, come into different groups who live elsewhere in Rotherham, or you know, wherever, so, you know, they might live in Rotherham, go to a Sheffield group because they don't want people to necessarily. And that's fine. Yeah. That's, you know, there's no problems. Yeah. I just took the decision to be totally honest about my own problems and my own concerns and my own mental health. And if I can help one guy to get the same kind of help what I've had, then that's a win.
And would you mind sharing your story? So what brought you into Andy's Man Club?
Well, it goes back probably about 10 years or such, this. Probably a bit longer than that, to be fair. So I've suffered with grief a lot. My mum died when I was 19. So obviously, you know, quite young with that. I lost my gran, and she was a big influence in my life. Then I got married, and I just started with a bit of depression. But I was just kind of hiding, masking the facts of that. And I didn't particularly understand what I was going through. I just kind of put myself into work and work and work and work. And just doing long, long hours, you know, being the big man, providing for family. Then... found my dad dead, and that just totally knocked me for six. And again, it was all grief, and I don't know if I actually let myself grieve for my dad, because I was too busy chucking myself into work and just doing that, you know, providing for family. But
was that like a coping mechanism, do you think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Just, you know, yeah, just masking it, you know, not actually fessing up to my own problems and saying I'm struggling with this. I just hid myself away, and then, you know, I'd come home from work and then still sit in the car, not wanting to go in the house for some, you know, some reason, going in the house and still feeling so lonely. So like when I lost my dad, I worked in Nottingham at the time, so I'd got an hour's drive. So that night, you know, I'd ring him every night without fail. So at least I've got that. I got that chat.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you've lost that.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, it killed me. That it really did knock me for six. And then, 18 months, I made an attempt to. Well, I went out to end my life. Didn't obviously do it because I'm sat here, so that's, you know, results. Yeah, so that's good. And then a few months after that, my wife left me, and that, although the marriage hadn't been good for a while, that was moment when I thought, you know what, I've got to do something for myself here. So I'm not going to say Andy's Man Club has saved my life, because there's a lot of factors what I've done in me. You know, I've had to get off my own arse and do something, because, you know, unfortunately the NHS is under severe pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit here and slag them off, because, what, you know, some of them do a fantastic job, but they are under pressure. But I lived in a town where I've got no mates, really. I still do. And I took the decision to just go to an Andy's Man Club, because I've got nothing to lose. And I went, and I just found a community where I was safe to say what I wanted to say without any judgment, and realising that I'm not the only kid what's lost parents, I'm not the only kid what's lost a marriage, I'm not the only kid what's had depression and stuff like that, because there's other guys in that room what are going through something similar. And it grounded me, it settled me down.
So would you say when you went in, it wasn't what you expected it to be?
I didn't know what to expect, because I'd done no homework on it. I needed to go and do something, so I just went.
Where had you heard about it?
I just seen the post on Facebook, and I thought, I've got to do something. I can't just sit here on my ass. And
did you, when you first went, Richard, did you think that, were you doing it because you thought, well, it's a group of guys getting together, but did you honestly think that it might help you, or were you just going along to go, well, I'll give it a try, it's not worth anything?
I didn't really go along with any
preconceptions.
I've got to do something. Like I said, my GP didn't really do all, you know, I had to do something. I'd had some support from my workplace. I managed to get a bit of therapy from them. And I thought, yeah, that's all well and good, but I'm talking to a screen here. It weren't even a one-to-one therapist, it was just online.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and you know what? I thought, some of it is a great load of crap. Some of it, I picked up a load of light bulb moments.
Oh, okay.
And when you pick them, I took that light bulb moment away and thought, I worked on that bit. But it's the loneliness what I was scared of.
Okay, yeah.
And I got nothing to lose, so I just went along to Andy's Man Club. And like I said, I went in and I struggled to talk, so I was crying that much. And I just got sat down by a kid called Simon. He's at a Tesco group now, he runs that. And he just says, he found his man club, and yeah, I just need help. And we just had a chat, and we just, like I said, we had that meeting, started at 7. And I just, like I said, I went out, it didn't kill me problems, they were still there. But I just felt a little bit more calmer because I knew there's other guys in that room what's going through similar shit what I've been going through.
Did you feel like a weight had been lifted off your shoulders when you were able to voice obviously what you've been carrying for what seemed like a long time?
Yeah, I mean, that first night I didn't... You don't drop all the bombs at once. Well, I didn't, you know what I mean? I was struggling. I was still struggling with wife leaving me. That killed me. But that were... It was just nice to know that I've got some guys there who, you know, they don't know me from Adam, but they've got me back. Mm. Weird, absolutely weird, but I just got that vibe, it was a good place. So I went again week after, and then week after that, and I've not missed a week since.
And do you think it also helps listening to other people's issues as well? So, like, I know every problem's, like, relative, if you like, but sometimes having that thought or that hearing somebody else is either going through it or... maybe even going through something worse, for the want of a better term, that you know gives you a bit of...
It's perverse, really, sometimes, because we have a set formula, shall we call it, and I can go with probably the smallest problem in the world, but no matter what your problem is, it's your problem, and therefore it's big to you.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
No matter what it is. And I remember it one night, it's all confidential, so I can't, you know, I'm not going to tell you what the actual thing was. But I had a moan, and it was about, in the big scheme of things, absolutely nothing. And then two seats away, there's a guy there who's got life-changing stuff going off. You know, not good life-changing stuff, by the way. Awful. And he's still managing to have a smile and a laugh, and he's getting on with it. And it puts it into perspective. It grounded me and humbled me, and I thought, you know what, Rich? You have a cook in your steak. It's not a massive problem. You know what I mean? Yeah. That poor sod's going through it, and you're moaning about burning your steak, so...
And I think that's the thing sometimes. I think that's one of the struggles, isn't it? That when we talk about mental health in general, that when you've got something weighing heavy or something negative that's happening around you, sometimes it's really difficult to pick out the positives, isn't it, in life?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'll always remember that going back a few years, and I was struggling a bit. I was struggling with, I would say, in hindsight, looking back now, it was a mental health issue or something I was struggling with, you know, finance and stuff as always, but it got to a point where it was all consuming. You know, it was always on my mind, it was always there, it was stopping me sleeping, it was, you know, it made me feel like a failure, it made me feel like I was letting people down, it made, you know, and it really weighed heavy. I remember walking through Leeds at the time, and it were middle of winter, walking through. And I just happened to look in this doorway, and there was obviously a guy laid there in a sleeping bag and covered with like cardboard, you know, obviously a homeless guy. And it just all of a sudden hit me. Just that one moment hit me on a sense of, do you know what? Yeah, you've got stuff going off. And like you say, they are problems, and they seem big to you. Absolutely. But there was just that little thing that went into the back of my head that go, do you know what? That guy there would swap places with me in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
He would swap places. You know, yes, I might have got all this going off, but I've got a roof over my head. Mm. I've got a wife. I've got kids. I've got a healthy family. You know, I know where my next meal's coming from. You know, and I'm not saying that means that my problems were irrelevant, but it just made me think about what positives I'd got in my life. It just made me think about, and I think sometimes that we... That's the hard thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
To search in dark times or in low times, to try and search for that positivity, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, but sometimes that could be just that little thing that you need to, you know, okay, well, you know, it's not all bad. It's not all bad.
Yeah. No. I mean, I remember when it's going back quite a few years back now, when I worked in Carphone Warehouse, and I remember splitting up with an ex, and really, when I think back about it now, I think we weren't even together that long. It didn't even seem like it were a big deal. But at the time, it threw my anxiety. And I haven't suffered with anxiety for years now, thankfully, in touch wood. But at that time, my anxiety was off the chart. I think it's the first time I'd ever experienced anxiety, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what I was going through. And I just remember all I could do was just explain or ask people questions or just blurt, just talk rubbish probably. It probably didn't even make sense what I was saying, but I think I was trying to make sense of the issue in my own head by explaining it to people that probably didn't care less, if I'm honest. But it was almost like I was being selfish by just putting myself onto them. Regardless of what problems they got going on, it didn't matter to me. And my head was so fuzzy, I couldn't concentrate on anything other than my problem and didn't really know how to get out of it, other than I was just talking to everyone and anyone. But whereas you, when you saw that person in their situation, which was worst, when you deemed it as, hold on a minute, you know, what have I got to worry about when this person's in this state? I don't think I was even acknowledging anything else that was happening around me. I was so fuzzy-headed, didn't really know how to process what was going on.
Just consumed your entire...
Yeah. And at the time, I didn't know, I wouldn't have known that that's classed as mental health, that you know, because it's certainly come on a long way since then, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. And I definitely didn't know that's what it was. But looking back now, I've realised, yeah, that was a mental health issue. And, you know, having something like Andy's Man Club, although my problem was to anyone else as minuscule, having knowing that that's there and that's an option to go to is something that's brilliant.
Yeah, and that's what happens a lot. You know, some guys can... You know, we get loads and loads of different issues going off. Guys come for different reasons. Guy, you know, money problems, that's way up world at the minute, isn't it? Yeah. You know, cost of living and that, everybody's stressing about money. And then you've got things like social media and stuff like that. That is not good for people. I don't... Oh, personally, my thoughts, it's not good for people. Mm. People are worried about health and, you know, mental health and women problems, relationship problems, all sorts. And people, you know, people just... I'd just be a little bit lonely and come to our place on a Monday night for a couple hours, get some art. That happens. Sometimes that's what I go for.
Yeah.
So when somebody walks up then for the first time and they swing the doors open and well, I'm making him sound like John Wayne here. Yeah.
To the house, a spittoon and spit in the bucket.
So maybe not swinging the doors open. But
I can assure you now that no one just stands there and looks at people.
Yeah. So they open the door ajar slightly. They sort of look round a little bit, you know, sheepish. What can they expect?
Well, they don't have to open the door for first thing. We, no matter whether snowing, windy, rain, hail or what, we've got guys outside the door.
Okay.
Bringing people in, because that's the hardest bit.
Yeah, getting through the door.
Yeah, that is so hard.
Even getting out the car, I bet.
Yeah.
So you get some people that, you know, are reluctant to come in. They get so far and think, do you know what, I can't do it.
Yeah, sometimes you can see them just walking on the other side of pavement, on the other side of the road, and you walk and I'll see you in a few weeks, mate, because I know, you just get to... You get that vibe, you get that sense.
Yeah.
But people will come up and park up and sit in car. There's guys who have done that and come in, you know, they've come into a group and they've admitted it, that they should have done it 4 or 5 weeks ago, but they've just sat in car. Mm. Now, we have what we call a sweeper, and we will go through car park, and I've done it myself, and I've seen people sat in car and I've knocked on the window and said, "You're from Man's Club?" "Yeah." "But I don't want to come in." I goes, "Come in with me then." And they come in and they get through the door. Mm. And once they're through that door, that's the hardest bit done.
Absolutely.
Because
it is.
We'll make them a cup of tea. Yorkshire tea bags, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Only one type of tea bag.
Decent biscuits, but they guaranteed a warm welcome.
Yeah.
And there's, you know what I mean? We're not going to bombard people with questions. We're not that. We're not therapists, not counsellors, all like that. We're just blokes what's had a bit of a shit time and going through and coming out other side and just playing it forward now.
So anyone walking through the doors, they don't necessarily have to talk on the first meeting. They don't have to share their life in the first week or whatever.
Not at all. There's no pressure on anybody to talk at any time. So we don't, you know, you don't have to register. You don't even need to know your name. If you want to say your name's Barry or whatever your name is or whatever it is, we don't care.
And is it free for you to... They don't need to register anything, it's just walk in straight in?
Just walk in. Okay. We don't even have charity rattling pots here, because we'd rather, you know, like I said earlier, some people are skint. You know, they come in here because they've got money problems and they just need to.
Yeah, of course, and they don't want it. You saying it's £2 to get in. That's
It's, you know, it's totally free. No pots all like that, because if you're struggling with money, we'd rather you go and get a pint of milk and a loaf of bread rather than stick a bit, you know, feel like you've got to stick a bit of money in our pot. Mm. We don't do it for that. You know, yeah, we do need fundraising. It's an important thing. But, for me anyway, I don't give a toss about the money. Mm. It's about getting that guy through.
Just talking about money, do you get any help from the government at all? Is it all self-funded?
Yeah, just charity,
charity.
So, I mean, we do a lot, and we get a lot of people, you know, donating on a regular basis, and that, you know, it's great, it's brilliant, and we get a lot of support from women. So while it's Andy's Man Club, the only thing what women aren't allowed to is 7x9 on a Monday night. Mm-hmm. That's man's special place. Mm. Rest of the time, and women are the biggest supporters. They really are. We have more women on this Facebook page than men.
Right.
54% of our followers on Love and Page are women.
Do you think some of them are looking for support on behalf of their husbands or children or someone?
Yeah, we've had it a number of times where cars pulled up outside where, you know, this club, and women are, you know, wives or partners are dropping blokes off and saying you're going.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what kind of age group does it span?
Well, you've got to be 18 and older and a bloke to come.
Right.
There's no top injury age. So we get, in my groups, I've got guys at 19, over 80, and everything in between.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Still got time then, Mark, to go. You're still just getting there and just under 80.
Yeah, makes a change for me not to be poking fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does make a change.
All angles.
Yes.
But you must get an immense sense of achievement, knowing obviously you went there for help when you needed it, and then being able to pass that on to other people when they were sort of walking at the lowest.
I think I won't say achievement's the correct word, because it helps me while I'm out there, and, you know, I'm quite open about my issues and my, you know, shit, what's gone off in my life. While I'm doing that, it helps me fight my own demons.
Right.
But there's no better reward than seeing a guy come through that door. And slowly, you know, I've seen it, and he'll come in for the first time. I'm not talking. I'm not saying, I've got nothing to say, guys. I don't want to talk. That's all right. No problems. We're not going to think any less on you. We're not going to kick you out because you're not talking. Yeah, there's no judgment. So if you don't want to talk, you don't want to talk. There's no problems with that. But when people aren't talking, they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
And when guys are talking about the stuff what's gone off in their lives that week and their, you know, their problems, they're relating to them.
Mm.
So, you know, that night when I said, you know, my wife's left me, you can see other people nodding. And before you know it, that guy who don't want to talk is realising he's in a safe space where he can talk if he wants to.
Right.
And they end up talking. And you can see heads coming up and shoulders raising, and the biggest buzz for me is when you see some guys coming out at 9 o'clock, and it does happen. It's only 2 hours and it's mad, but they're going out a different person,
right.
And then they're coming back, and you can see gradually, you know, increasing confidence, and they're a better person. They just can't. I look at myself at times, because, you know, 18 months ago I was. You know, I was there, ready to end it. I went out just to end it, not to come back. And I look at myself now, and I'm a different person. And there's other guys who are better people. There's one bloke in that group who I solely put it down to him that I'm a calmer person, because he's like the voice of reason.
Right.
He's so calm, and there's so many different people in this group. You're going to pick up little bits. It's like that light bulb moment again. You're going to pick up bits off other people and think, he's right. And it just makes you a better person. It really does. It's crackers.
And I guess it also gives you a purpose as well, another purpose, doesn't it? You know, like from what you've gone through and the split up with your ex-partner, and I don't know if you're on your own now or whether you're with someone else, but in that moment where you probably were on your own and you went there for the first time, and after a few weeks, it then starts to give you a purpose, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Which was obviously what you, I imagine, was what you were lacking some of.
You know what? Sometimes I still feel like, what is my purpose in life? Because it's not a magic potion, you know? You don't just go to Man's Club for a couple of weeks and think, I'm mended, because that's not life, is it?
No.
It's still shite at times, and we have bad weeks and good weeks. And you've just got to be honest with yourself, and be honest with guys in group. If it's been a crap week, it's been a crap week. But you know what? Everything's a little bit temporary, isn't it? Mm. Sometimes you have some fantastic weeks. Mm. And I talk about them and all, because it shows that guys, when it's been... They've seen... I like a cry. I'm all right with crying in public. I try not to do it in public because it embarrasses other people. Don't embarrass me, but...
Like the Asda shop worker or something.
Yeah, you know what I mean? What do I do with this big lad? He's crying, what do I do here? But, you know, I've got a safe space on a Monday night where I can have a cry if I want to.
Yeah.
And I've done it numerous times. I'm all right admitting that. And they... It's real life, isn't it? You've just got to be honest with yourself and it's real.
Yeah, and especially when you're opening up to that degree, it's quite easy to become overcome with emotion, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, you're talking about real issues, what's affecting you and stuff, what's hurt you. Mm. But you got to talk about it.
It's quite interesting that you said that as well, Richard. That you also share good things as well. So it's not all. You know, if you haven't had a bad week, for instance, it doesn't mean that you don't go. You know, if you've had a good week, or you've had something, you know, something's positive happening in your life, or something good's happening in your life, you know, people still go and share them good news stories as well. You know, to help lift people as well.
Yeah, because it just shows that it's not all crap, is it? It's not. We do have. I'd like to think it goes down in circles, doesn't it? You know what I mean? You're going to have good times as well as bad times, because that's just the nature of the beast.
Mm.
Them good times, you've got to shout about them good times, and not to rub it into other people, obviously, because in that group you have a full range of emotions.
Yeah.
You can go from, I've done it myself, Christ, I've done it myself, where I've cried and then 5 minutes after I'm having a laugh.
Yeah.
Because that's just the way it is. We don't sugarcoat stuff. We're not brutally harsh or like that, but we're just honest.
And it shows as well that although you felt this way, you then when you do have something good to say, it shows then people that actually, you know, look, they've seen where you were X amount of weeks ago, and now you're absolutely, you know, completely different in your approach to that week. Do you know what I mean? And they see that and say, "Wow, I saw him 3 weeks ago, and he were really down there, and now he seems up there."
Well, yeah, it's literally like the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
So like Richard, as you know, we know Richard's story now. So obviously, you know, Richard's story is, you know, bad time in his life, and he's still obviously still there every Monday, and people can, you know, because Richard shares his story with these other men, so they can see, look, this is where Richard was and where Richard's now. Yeah, okay, he has his bad days and stuff, but generally your life now, Richard's pretty okay, you would say, compared to how it was.
Yeah, I mean,
so you share these stories with these other men. These other men can see there's hope. There's that light at that end of the tunnel, basically, isn't there?
Yeah, and you know, like I say, it's just calmed me down. So I'm not. I try not to worry about stuff I can't control anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's just wasted energy. So yeah, I spend a lot of time on my own, and I've always been absolutely petrified of being lonely. And sometimes it still happens. But I'm not lonely on a Monday night.
Mm-hmm. And just do more meetings, Richard, and you'll be all right.
Yeah, well, this is why I do so much. But it's, you know, guys are seeing that. You just be honest to yourself. And we had a guy here Monday night just gone. And it was brilliant. He's had his own issues, and he come out and he says, he was just honest with himself. I need to do this. This has gone off. I could see this were coming, and I've not done something bad. I've held myself together and done something good, not so it's not affected me in a negative way. And I'm like, you're first run already, aren't you? Well, you're second run, because you've realised that you know your triggers, you know what not to do and what to do. Yeah. And two, you've got through that door and you're talking about it. Yeah. You're already making them steps.
You're on that
up.
Journey, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's hard, isn't it, sometimes, because you can, when you're in a dark place, you're having a rough time of it, you see all the negatives and you feel like you're on a bad run, and it's one thing after another, after another. Yeah. Something positive happens, you dismiss it, because all you can see is the negatives around you, can't you? And you need, I suppose, that's where that support network comes in, that says, actually, just stop focusing on the negative. Look at that. You've done this week or this year, you know, something to be proud of. And I suppose it's having that, you know, the people around you to remind you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is exactly that, yeah.
So as a facilitator, then you run the club on a Monday night. So what does that mean? What do you mean that you're, you know, how is it run, I suppose, is what I'm trying to ask for. Like, is there a structure? Is there a format? Why does it need a facilitator, I suppose, is what I'm saying.
I'm a facilitator, but that only means I open the door and shut up and ask questions. That's it. Mm-hmm. So it certainly don't make me any better than anybody else, because I'm not. We're all exactly, when we're in that room, we're all on level. Yep. No matter whether, you know, we've had some groups with professional sportsmen, CEOs of companies, and guys who's, you know, unemployed and don't do well. Everybody's on the same level. There's no egos about that. Every group runs exactly the same. So 200 groups up and down country, one online, and they run exactly the same. So 7 o'clock, doors open at 6:30 for, you know, a brew. 7 o'clock, we all meet in room and I'll go through rules. We have four or five rules. So everything's confidential, so we don't allow recording or note taking or all like that. We don't talk about politics or religion, because
for obvious reasons.
We're all being confidential. We ask not, well, we don't talk about criminality and stuff like that, because, well, it's what's said in the room stays in the room. So every week in Brinsworth anyway, we split it into two rooms, so the groups are a little bit smaller and the guys have a bit more time to talk. What's said in one room, other room don't know. Mm-hmm. It is that confidential. But if PC Plod comes along and that confidential, unfortunately, don't go to him. So we just say, if what's happened to your car, talk about your feelings, not your actual doings. We don't need to, you know, you can say someone's keyed it, I'm not very happy, that's fine. We don't need to know Derek next door's keyed my car and I've smashed his face in. Let's leave that out. And we don't talk about medication, because none of us are doctors, and even if there is a doctor in the room, he's not there as a doctor, he's there as an AMC user. And that's about it, really. And then we just get five questions. Three questions stay the same each week, and then the final two will change.
Okay. So what are them questions?
So question one, how's your week been?
We've done that one.
Question two, what's your positive front week?
We talked about positives a bit, didn't we?
What's your positive?
Mine?
Yeah.
Well, I've just had a fantastic weekend. I've been to a dance, like a rave thing, and it was just wonderful.
You can tell your face.
You went to Forbidden Forest?
Yeah, Transient Woods at Derby.
Oh, good
fantastic.
Grief. Is that a festival?
Good grief. It's a one-day trance event run by Good Grief. They're a dance promoter.
You ever been, Mark?
I've not been, no. Oh. But I keep seeing it popping up and it just never lands right for me. But
sounds like
I know some people that played there in an ice cream van, Mr. Trippy, in the secret spot.
Yeah, I was just right corner from that, watching Transwax. It was fantastic.
I bet he was.
Did you enjoy it, yeah?
Yeah, I've done more dancing I mean, I'm not built for dancing, and I've got two left feet. But I did more dancing in 8 hours solid than what I've done it last 20 odd years.
Wow, you're my kind of guy, Richard.
Yeah, we're good. Very
put
good.
Music on. I love a dance.
Very good. Then question three: hope to get off your chest.
Ooh.
Well, I think Rob might have, but...
Mark, have you got anything to get off your chest?
No, not really, no.
Not, ooh, not really.
That's unusual for you.
No, I mean, I can... Well, I can think of one.
Oh, here we go.
There's always
it's,
one.
It's only a little bit, it's only a little bit.
Go on then.
Why are tins of beans always upside down?
No, that's my wrap for next week. No, you know recycling men when they come round?
Yeah.
Right. Well, in Doncaster, obviously that's who I fall under. We've got a small green box, right? We've got to put us glass in, right? That's fine, but it says do not put any broken glass in it. I'm like, okay, but then the bin that they put all the glass in on the machine, it goes obviously up, and then it all smashes in the back of the So I'm like, well, but I can't put smashed glass out, but it smashes in the back of the lorry. What's all that about? That
Richard,
annoys me.
Have you ever had anybody at Andy's Man Club come in and that's what he wanted
me?
To get off his chest?
Well,
I'll see him next Monday.
No, but it's got... I mean, the thing is, though, that anything to get off your chest, it's you know, it feeds into what we're doing, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because, like, when we talk about this podcast... You know, and it's been mentioned before about us and being four blokes getting together and chatting. But pretty much that's what we do every week.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We talk about all topics and we don't always agree, do we, Mark?
No.
Me.
Other one. We don't always agree, you know, but it's fine. And that reconnection of friendships and groups, but that ability of being able to say what we want and get it off his chest, it does help.
It massively does.
It absolutely helps.
And obviously because we come together now, what, most weeks?
Yeah.
And we get to sit here and talk, but also it's not just the time that we're on the microphone, it's the time before and after we turn the mics on, mm-hmm. that we get to be, you know, a bit more personal about what we might want to discuss. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Obviously on the mic, sometimes we'll say things, but there's always times when we just want that, you know, you wouldn't want to say it over a microphone.
So there were two questions, and you didn't answer either of them, Kirk. So what's your positive from this week?
Well, like I mentioned earlier at the beginning, getting out and starting walking again. Starting walking again. So, that's my positive I would take from the week.
Mine, I've finally had time to record another YouTube video.
Ooh, so that'll be next year's New Year's resolution to get that published to YouTube.
I knew you were going to say YouTube. That. I knew you were going to bring that up. But yeah, seriously, it's not very often I get time to do it, and I finally found a bit of time to record something, so now I've got something I can actually edit.
And when's this video going to come out? 2027?
Yes.
Really?
No.
Just to give you a bit of context, Richard. So Rob's got a YouTube channel. And he's a videographer, and he's very good at it.
Stop if you want it. To make me blush.
Yeah, if you love it. If you want to, the Big Toe, it's called it's not, you know, TOW Toe on YouTube. Give it a watch. But he is very, very good. But the problem with Rob is he's such a perfectionist. It takes him so long to edit and release the videos. So to give you an example, his most recent video was a Glastonbury video. So he went to Glastonbury when?
2023.
Last June.
So
last
June 2023. And he said, I'm going to go and do a vlog and stuff for Glastonbury. When did you release the video?
About a month and a half ago.
It took him a year to do it. I mean, it's a very good video. It's a very good video, Rob. Yeah. But a year. That's why he's positive, is he managed to record some footage.
Yeah, and it's only 60 seconds, so it's not going to take me that long to edit it. But yeah,
we'll see.
But it's a positive.
So when's it out?
I say a month.
No way.
A month and a half. But nonetheless, it's a positive.
Moving on to the next question then. So have you got anything to get off your chest, you two?
Do you know what? I haven't, actually. I don't feel as though I've got anything to get off my chest this week.
Richard, have you got anything to get off your chest?
Only that bloody Retton one with roadworks.
Yeah.
How long?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're putting a lay-by in. Why is it taking them a year to put a lay-by in?
And they're not even putting one lay-by in, they're only putting a few little lay-bys in.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Roadworks are the bane of everybody's life, aren't they?
They are.
So, have you got to get off your chest, Mark?
Well, I have, actually, but it's more of a plea. So this is to anybody that's possibly listening to this. Can we just chill out? Yeah. So we're only here for a very short time, aren't we? Yeah. We might not know each other if we're passing in the street, driving past each other in our cars, but people are becoming so militant. Just chill out. Do you know what I mean? We don't have to be so argy-bargy, you know, cutting people up and pushing past and this, that and the other. There's enough, there's loads of negative stuff on the media, you know, causing division and saying that you should do this and you should do that and people are disagreeing and whatever, but come on, let's just, you know, off the back of everything that we've been talking about today, we just need to chill out, don't we?
Just be a bit more amenable.
Yeah. You know, life's too short.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Absolutely. And understand that everyone has an opinion. you don't have to agree with it, but everyone has one.
So if someone did want to go to, or feel the need to go to Andy's Man Club, want to go, where did they go to find out more information?
Well, we've got us website, which is andysmanclub.co.uk, and that has like an interactive map with your nearest group. If you can't get to a group or you don't want to go to a group, we've got an online offering as well. So just, you know, you don't need a laptop, you can do it on your mobile phone. It's just an online group what talk to each other. But they don't have to register, they don't have to, you know, book in or out like that, they just come along. There's no cost.
It sounds very accessible.
It is, it really is. And it's like you've just got to be over 18 and a bloke and you can come in.
Well, what I'd like to say on behalf of all blokes around the country is obviously just on behalf of everybody, a massive thank you for what you're doing. I know you went in there for help yourself, the help that you're passing on to people that have needed it and have had your support, people that perhaps haven't yet taken the step to come in. You know, the opportunity that you are helping to provide is fantastic, and I think it's highly commendable.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. I want to know the last two questions.
Well, the last two questions change every week.
All right.
We do that just to make sure everybody leaves the group with something different to think about rather than the usual three questions. So, last Monday night, question four was, what was the most valuable lesson you learnt as a child that sticks with you today? Yeah, it gets you thinking, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, you guys know that I'm not very good with remembering anything from my childhood from a previous podcast, so I'll struggle. So let me have a think while you guys think.
What was the question again?
What was the most valuable lesson you learnt as a child that sticks with you today?
Well, I can answer this. Yeah. So the most valuable lesson learned was about friendship. So when I was younger, I was very overweight. I didn't have any friends, and I know how lonely that can feel, even at a young age. So the fact that what that taught me going through life, once I found true friendship, and I felt what that felt like, you know, to have true friendship, I'm a very loyal person.
Yeah,
you know, in that, and I hold friendship very, very close to my heart, because I know what it's like, you know, not to have any friends. So that's something that I have took from my childhood and learned at a very early age about the actual value of friendship.
Right.
Okay. Have you got anything, Rob?
My head is spinning so fast trying to think of something that I'm thinking, valuable lesson I learned when I was a child, and my mind's gone absolutely blank. Have you got anything?
Right, so the first one that came into my head was, don't play around with the newspaper in front of the gas fire. honestly, don't. Unfortunately, not many people have gas fires anymore. Anyway, but on a serious note, it's sort of similar to Kirk to some extent. I was badly bullied at school, and something that sort of stuck with me throughout my life. But as I got older, I learned to deal with it in a very, I would consider quite a mature way, in that when I see the people that bullied me then, today, I don't hold any grudges, because they were kids, they didn't know any better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, fair comment, yeah.
You know, some people are just like they are and they might take that into adulthood, but my decision is, do you know what, they were probably not aware of the the effects it had on other people to the full extent, if you know what I mean. But so that's probably a lesson I took into my adult life, is, you know, looking at and dealing with people. It's taught me a lot about how people can learn and grow up.
I did learn a valuable lesson, but it's not as serious as yours.
Okay.
So I once managed to get my foot trapped in a grate. I was charging people to go down and get the marbles from down the grate.
Hang on. Did you say charging?
Yeah. Well, I was the smallest of everybody on our street, and no one could fit down the grate to get the marble. So I went down and got the marbles for
them. It sounds like a scene of It.
Yeah. So I go down and get the marbles, and on this one night, I'd got the marble out, stood, and my mum shouted from our house, "Rob, your tea's ready." And in panic, one of the lads kicked the grate to shut it. My foot was just slightly overhanging the grate. Ooh. And it came down on my foot. And I needed to get my foot out. So I was ragging my foot out. I got it out and limped home. It was hurting a little bit. I got into the kitchen, took my shoe off, and I was walking through the kitchen, and my mum just screamed, "Rob." My sock was white, but it was now red, and there was blood pouring out my foot. It had pretty much ripped my nail off. It had not cut my toe or anything, my nail off. Anyway, within 2 days, we were going to Malta on holiday. So when we got to Malta, my dad said, well, they said you can't get your foot wet. So the only way I was going in my pool was by my dad putting a condom on my foot. So I had to endure a holiday wearing a condom on my foot for a week. So, yeah.
So the lesson you learned
is don't put your foot near a grate, otherwise you end up wearing a condom on your foot when you're on holiday.
Was it raped for a bit of grit?
Exactly. How did you know?
So I take it is the fifth question then just another one of them? Is it?
Yeah, the fifth question is always a quick fire one.
Okay.
And last week's was, what song has you singing or dancing along without fail?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. That.
Yeah. For me, it's Depeche Mode, "Enjoy the Silence."
Oh, okay, nice. I mean, I don't dance, but any song that I'll always turn it up and always sing along to, and is Michael Jackson, "Man in the Mirror."
Yeah.
So I could listen to that 1,000 times a day.
I literally dance without fail 3 to 4 times every day. I'm not joking.
Are they at set times?
Yeah. No, not at set times, but I can guarantee, be it at work, be at home in the kitchen, mainly home in the kitchen, mainly when I'm on my own. But one song, and I'm not going to be able to remember it now. I'm not going to be able to remember the song. But any song, honestly, I could dance to any song. It be it country music, be it dance music, it don't matter what it is, some form of expression will come out of my body as I'm dancing around the kitchen. But I'll work on the song. Right, I'm not sure you're a dancer, are you, Mark?
I am.
Are you?
Oh, yeah, Mark dances.
Oh, I love it.
A bouncer.
I'm not very good.
Is a bouncer? Is a jump up and down?
I'm a jump up. Yeah, yeah, like Richard. I mean, I love festivals and music. So I love dancing to dance music. Prodigy will always get me jumping around. As will the Killers.
Yeah.
You know, Oasis a little bit, if it's one of the rockier sort of tunes, but Bob Mead or whatever. But yeah.
What about you, Mark?
Marlin Redoute. Redoute.
The what?
When the beat drops out.
All right, yeah.
Do you know it?
Yeah, I know the song.
Do you?
It would definitely get me dancing, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that gets me dancing.
I'm not going to sing
it. You look quite old for 14.
Yeah, it's a good tune. You should listen.
So that's absolutely great. I mean, I think we've ticked every box then this
absolutely.
This
yeah, I think we have.
You know, as we said before, guys, if you listen to this and you do want to reach out, by all means, you can reach out to us. And we'll get you in touch with Andy's Man Club, or we'll put all the details on the description of this episode, and also put it on our socials. But please, you know, if you have listened to this episode and you do think, you know, it's something that you want to find out more, as I hope you've experienced today, there's help there, and it's literally not as daunting as you think, and it's about making that first step.
Yeah, it's once you're in, it's easier.
And just to wrap up, Richard, you were talking about fundraising earlier. We had an idea a few weeks ago that we were going to hold a fundraising charity golf event. It's looking a little bit busy towards the back end of this year, so hopefully around January, February next year, we're going to hold a crazy golf charity tournament. We're going to try and get as many teams as possible together, and we're going to raise as much money as we possibly can. for Andy's Man Club.
Brilliant. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming along, and thanks again for everything that you're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. Now, you've done a little bit of a game with us, Richard. Do you like features?
Love it.
Oh, well, here we go.
It's time for the Wheel of Features.
Oh, here we go. Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, this is so exciting. Come on. He's nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
I do love that, Rob. I'm never going to get bored.
Well, I'll
never
take that for you. Thank you. So first off, we've got, what the bloody hell is that?
Oh yeah, we're still going with that, aren't we?
Yeah, it goes.
So, you know it already, but I'm going to play it again.
And no one's got it right yet, have they?
No one's got it right yet. So here we go. This is the sound. I'll give you one more time. So let's put it on to Richard. Any idea what that is?
Is that a symbol?
Well, it's not the right answer, no.
No.
It rolls over for another week then, does it?
Yeah, have you got any better ideas?
I'm not. I'm out.
No?
No.
Well, we'll roll it on to next week then.
Brilliant.
So,
we need the listeners to keep firing in their suggestions, don't we?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Play it one more time for the listeners.
Yeah, so please, somebody please get this right, so put us out of our misery.
Because
we've no idea. Around the bend.
Time at the bar, please.
Okay, you ready then for the wheel?
Oh, we need to spin the wheel.
For this week, here we go.
Spinning.
Oh, it's mine. Oh. Yeah, you know what this means, don't you? It's time for Kazoo's Song Is It Anyway?
Hey! I've been waiting for this one.
And you know something? We've got a special guest.
Yeah.
He can kick it off for us.
Oh,
so,
fantastic.
The aim of this one then is, normally would be me, but on this occasion, Richard, I don't know if have you ever played a kazoo?
A long, long time ago.
Oh, this is going to be fun. So, I'm going to give you a song. You've got to play the song. We're going to have a guest in the room. Obviously, don't tell us if we're right. And then we're going to let the listeners have a listen as well, and then send in your suggestions and on the socials and whatever, and your guesses of what you think this song might be.
So he plays it on the kazoo.
He plays the song on the kazoo. I've not tuned it. And then let's see what happens.
I can't even remember how to play a kazoo.
There's no buttons on it.
I think that's the right way around.
It's
the
big way.
Is it?
It's not. It's not the big way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Where's it
been? Hum into it. I can't tell you that. I think it's the big way.
No.
Hum into it.
Yes,
hum into it.
Oh, here you go.
There we go. So it's the big end. Right. So, don't tell us the song title. Obviously, I've seen it.
So you can't take part.
You have got playing a section of that for people to have a guess at. Do you need some binoculars?
I've got that.
You got it?
I've got that. Right.
So, any section, and then... But don't tell us if we're right or wrong, and we'll let the listeners have a go as well. Here we go.
Here we go.
Drum roll.
I'll just do that again.
Yeah, I would.
I'm just trying to remember a song.
Well, it's written down on that card.
I know, but I can't remember.
You don't know the melody, the tune.
That's it.
Oh, crikey. You've given me a hard one here, Mark.
It's not an hard one, though.
Is it not?
It's just on the tip of my tongue and I can't get it out.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's as much as you're getting, because I can't remember that second bit.
Give it one more time.
One more time.
Well,
is it Frank Sinatra?
Close.
So there's £1 million on the line.
Careful what you say.
It
does not really.
Yeah.
Right. Well, if any listener has any idea of what Richard's just played on that kazoo.
The answer will be no. No one knows what that is.
No,
and they're a better person than I am.
And we'll reveal the answer next week, yeah?
We will. We'll definitely reveal the answer next week.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, well, on that fine note.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much again for your time.
Thank you,
Richard.
Thanks
guys.
For coming along.
Cheers,
thank you.
Thank you.
It's okay to talk.
See you, boys.
Bye-bye.
Do you have a dilemma? Maybe a burning question you're longing to be answered? Or or you just want to get in touch with us, why not drop us a voice note or a message over email at inthechat@gmail.com. That's two N's, not one N, because one N, it doesn't matter. inthechat@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.